Welcome to A Healthier View. This is your host, Chris, along with co-host Beth. We're awfully grateful to have you listening to us today and super excited about our guest today, Beth. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. It is a beautiful day in Texas. I love this time of year. It's beautiful and I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. And you're just talking about our guest, Dick Hoyt. Tell us a little bit about Dick Hoyt and Rick Hoyt, his son.
You know, I'm going to let him tell his story, but, you know, Dick Hoyt, I think the thing that I take away from him is just the whole motivation behind his life mission to have not only have a son, Rick Hoyt, he was born with cerebral palsy, have a quote unquote normal life, but the fact that he didn't cower in fear, because I've seen so many people over the years in my job cower in fear at the idea that they may, you know, be disappointed in something or they may not have the confidence. And I actually think that life starts with confidence and then motivation has to be the catalyst for hope and change. So, but anyway, I'm going to let Rick tell his story, Dick tell his story about him and Rick. But just for our listeners, when you hear his story, and again, I cannot wait to talk to him. I can only assume that Dick and Rick Hoyt pushed hard against the doubt and fear and perhaps even struggled to breathe life into something unique and precious and unquestionably theirs. But their lives are more than, you know, a presentation or a video to me. It's a deep personal story about greatness and motivation and purpose and love in a world where love doesn't come easily. So that's why I take away from it.
Well, absolutely. And it's an inspiring story for sure. And we're talking a lot about motivation right now. And so just you personally, what are some of the things that you're motivated by in your life?
You know, I can remember growing up, I was never a person who desired to leave her hometown. I never wanted to be a world traveler, although I wanted to be in the Olympics, but I never considered myself being that person that was wild and adventurous, and my dad being the dreamer couldn't wait until I ventured out in the world. And, but I didn't want to venture out into the unknown. I wanted a safe life, but it was my dad who encouraged me and motivated me to dream big. And so what motivated me as a 16-year-old was to be a good gymnast, to do well in school. Now, fast forward, you know, some years later, I'm really motivated to be healthy. My health is a big motivation. I'm very motivated to do a good job in my profession and just being, you know, an all-around good person. So that's what I'm motivated. That's what I'm motivated to do in my life right now. What about you?
It's interesting how your motivations change over time.
And, exactly.
At 16 years old versus now a grown-up. I say I'm a grown-up. I don't think I'm fully grown up, and I, you know, don't know what I want to be when I grow up still sometimes.
But I hear you.
You know, I'll tell you that nothing motivates me more now, and this is something I would have never thought about at age 16 when, you know, it was, again, school, sports for me, baseball, but my kids, you know, having an 8-year-old daughter and a 13-year-old son, talk about motivation. And, you know, motivation not just to, you know, boy, just get up, go to work every day, do the best job that you can. But it's also modeling as well, so that you're showing your kids and you're teaching them how to be motivated in their own lives. And at 8, my daughter's, she's motivated by the baseball concession stand.
I get that. Bless her heart.
She told me just the other day that she is the, they told her that she was their best customer, not only because she visits so often, but she's polite. So there
yeah,
you go.
That's sweet.
It's nice to hear. And then, you know, my son at age 13, well, it's kind of hard to know what he's really motivated by. But that's, you know, really kind of changing for sure. And it's 13-year-old boys don't talk much sometimes, but when they do, it's pretty interesting. And right now he's following, I guess, in my footsteps or, but he's much better than I was at his age at baseball. And
that's
so
great.
Baseball's definitely a motivator for him. And you know, I kind of athletics in general, especially through school, you know, with both of my kids, I think having some sport that they play. In Colby's case, it's baseball. Addison's really starting to take to basketball. But it really does help with the motivation and makes you a part of a team. And, you know, you're motivated by not letting your team down. And you're motivated to get your grades where they need to be and, you know, behave properly, because if your grades aren't up, then you don't play. So, but, you know, then, you know, there's me being motivated by, you know, modeling that to the kiddo. So I think that's really important, you know, for the parents out there. Parenting's awfully tough. And here in a few minutes, we'll, you know, certainly hear a great story about a father and a son who have just overcome tons of obstacles. And you know, the parent there, the father, was certainly a motivation to his son. But I think that, you know, from what I've read, and I'm excited about the interview, I think in the end, it sounds like the son has motivated the father. So,
oh, really? Yeah.
Anyway, just a great story.
Yeah, and what I hope people take away from our interview is, again, seeing the videos and doing the prepping for this interview is that life matters. You know, what you do each day moves the world forward, and it can make it a little bit warmer and brighter or not. So those decisions can help make you a hero in every sense of the word. So no matter where you are right now, I mean, I hope our audience, I hope they feel empowered and motivated to, you know, think about those goals and go after them. I remember when we used to work together, you used to say, go home or go big. I used to say that. So,
go big or go home, go right?
Yeah. What did I say?
Yeah, go big or go home.
Go big or go home.
Yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, I do, I say that a lot. And so, and it's just, you know, that's kind of my motivating phrase in my life, I guess. But so you work with individuals each and every day in health and wellness. And mm-hmm. what do you see? What are things that challenge people in, you know, being motivated? I mean, there are just so many traps out there. You know, you want to do the right thing. You want to eat healthy. You want to, you know, maybe you're, you want to exercise more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get demotivated easily and can get distracted. You know, it seems like there's always an excuse not to work out, or, you know, there's a party or something that you're going to that, you know, you're not going to eat healthy at. What are some of the things that you see out there that are just traps that people fall into?
You know, I think, and no disrespect to you, Chris, but I think the things like the parties and the not planning and things like that, I think those are excuses. So I think it really comes down to people not having the confidence in themselves to, because there's ways around that, or prepping, if they just don't think about it. If you're like, hey, I'm going to be going to this like Christmas party tonight, and there's going to be lots of good food and some adult beverages that, you know, you may overindulge in all of the above. But if you just plan a little bit and eat before you go to the party and allow yourself one cocktail. And if you just plan, that's the big thing. But I think it comes down to confidence for a lot of people. But, and what awakens one person might be completely different than another person. So, you know, I just think you need to think about what fuels you. Think about your place in the world, what you want for your life, what you want for those people close to you. And then a lot of, you know, education is really, really powerful. So, I honestly, I think it comes down to confidence is the number one obstacle that people have, whether they know it or not.
So when you say confidence, do you mean confidence that they can actually carry through with the task, you know, carry through with eating healthy.
Absolutely. Exercising. Mm-hmm. I mean, because if you think about motivation comes and goes. I mean, I don't know about you. I'm never motivated to do the dishes that are piling in my sink. I'm never like motivated to do that, but I do it anyway. So motivation comes and goes. So I want to ask you something. Have you ever had a moment like that aha moment where you were so motivated about something and realized that you wanted to do or be something more?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, mainly it was when I had my son, Colby. And, you know, you go through different phases. I graduated college and then got married. So there's more pressure on you, I guess, as a, you know, you're your husband now. And then when you have your first kid, when you have a kiddo and it just changes. Folks used to say all the time, and I tell people this, I say, you're not going to believe it or understand. And I said, but your life is going to change like you can't believe when you have a kid. And, you know, it was certainly told to me, and I just sort of blew it off. Oh, yeah, but, you know, just changes in so many different ways. But just the – and I don't say that – I say pressure is maybe the wrong word, but, you know, just motivated to be the best father that I can possibly be, the best example, I guess, to my kids that I can mm-hmm. possibly be. So, you know, you obviously have to wake up and, you know, be motivated to, you know, go to work, provide for the kids, but then, you know, also spend that quality time, that one-on-one time with the kids. So, yeah, certainly the aha moment in my life was, in fact, I remember being at the hospital with my son, and we had stayed, I think, 3 days, and I couldn't believe that they were going to allow me to walk out of the hospital with this baby. and I thought, wow, you know, this is, I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we read so many books and thought we were so prepared, and then got home, and I think I took a trip to the Target to redo absolutely everything because we did not have a system. But anyway, but yeah, so it's scary when, you know, you learn you're going to be a parent, and, you know, now you really have to get your act together in life. So anyhow.
Yeah. And I bet that's where Dick Hoyt was when Rick is first born. And, you know, his other, you know, kids that he had following, you know, motivated to be the best dad, motivated to give his son the best, his sons, the best lives possible. So I, you know, having children, which I don't have, but I get it. I get it. And I can only compare that to having dogs, which is not, I'm not even remotely saying it's the same, but I love my dogs. So.
Well, a 13-year-old boy and a dog, there are a lot of similarities. So
I bet. You know,
the nice thing about a dog is when you come home, it's like they haven't seen you in years.
And so
they're always excited to see you, which is nice. So
big bravado, whether you're gone 5 minutes or 20 minutes.
That's right. They're always happy to see you. So. Hey, Beth, I hate to cut this short, but I'm really excited about our second segment and the interview with Dick Hoyt. And before we move into that second segment, I just want to give a shout out to Atlanta Life Media Agency. Without them, the show would certainly not be possible. And I want to thank our listeners. Thank you all so much. Thank you all for your comments and feedback. Beth and I love getting your emails. We read every single one of them. We respond to each of them. And then, you know, it's nice to share different stories on the radio show. So thank you for that. If you want to email us, you can reach us at a Healthier View Podcast at uptomeradio.com. That's a Healthier View Podcast at meradio.com. And so we'd just love to hear from you. If you haven't done so, please take a couple of minutes to go over to Stitcher or iTunes and download Up to Me Radio. Again, that's UP, the number 2ME Radio, and leave a rating for the show. Beth, I think we're ready to move to commercial break, and right after the commercial break, we will have Dick Hoyt on as our guest.
Yay!
Stay tuned, everybody.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to A Healthier View. We're joined today by a very special guest, Dick Hoyt. For more than 30 years, Dick and his son Rick have inspired millions by competing as a team in more than 1,000 races, including numerous marathons and several Ironman triathlons. Rick was born in 1962 to Dick and Judy Hoyt, and at the time of birth was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. Dick and Judy were advised to institutionalize Rick because there was no chance of him recovering and little hope for Rick to live a normal life. This was just the beginning of Dick and Judy's quest for Rick's inclusion in community, sports, education, and one day the workplace. As a result, their son Rick has broken down barriers to inclusion for persons with disabilities throughout the world. Dick, we are honored to have you as a guest today. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Happy to be on your show.
You know, today's show is all about digging deep into yourself, you know, and not only about living a healthy lifestyle and motivation, but family love. And I'm personally just so excited to have you on as our guest to talk about this topic. And I seriously have chills right now. And I want you to know, I saw a Team Hoyt video about 7 or 8 years ago, and I was an instant fan. All I remember is seeing this amazing, incredibly motivating dad swimming with a makeshift raft, pulling his son, biking with a special bicycle with his son, and running while pushing his son. And the video was this montage of athletic events like marathons and triathlons, and it was just incredible. So again, I want you and our audience to know that you have not only motivated me with my health, and I'm an exercise physiologist, but also challenged me to be kind of a softer yet fiercer type of person as well. So I am honored as well to have you on the show.
Well, thank you very much.
So Dick, I'm reminded of the quote, a journey of 1,000 miles truly begins with the first step. And it really wasn't until Rick's teenage years that you all took up the first step of running marathons. But I'd like to go back a little bit further than that. We have a lot of listeners who have children who have been diagnosed with some form of disability. Tell us how you learned of Rick's diagnosis and the first steps you and your wife took and have led to this inspiring journey.
Oh, when Rick was being born, he turned himself over and the umbilical cord twisted around his neck, and he's in such a position, it took a matter of minutes before the doctors could get at it and untangle it. Well, that caused a lack of oxygen to Rick's brain, which caused brain damage, which is cerebral palsy. At the time, we knew there was something wrong with Rick, but we did not know exactly what. So the doctors made an appointment for us to see a specialist when Rick was 8 months old. We took Rick to the specialist, and they did all kinds of tests. And the tests come back, and they were very negative. They said, forget Rick, put him away, put him in an institution. He's going to be nothing but a vegetable for the rest of his life. And we said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to bring Rick home and bring him up like any other child. And this is what we have done.
Truly,
that's amazing. Incredible. And, you know, just reading through your website and other information, you all made that decision. You all were young parents. I think I read 20 and 19 years old. Is that correct?
Yes. My wife was 19 years old and I was 20 years old.
Well, that's unbelievable. It's, you know, really two kids having to make huge decisions. My parents were 17 and my dad was 19 when they had me. But I can't imagine having to make those sorts of decisions at such a young age and with your newborn son. So really amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. You know, Chris and I were both collegiate athletes, so we know the energy and the time and dedication it takes. You know, sports was such an instrumental part of your family's life. In fact, I read that after receiving his first interactive computer, Rick's first words weren't mom or dada, but they were go Bruins. So even before the marathons, how did you use sports and activities to help mold Rick into the man he is today?
Well, Rick, yeah, Rick loves the Bruins, and it was just amazing because, you know, we tried to get Rick in public school, and they said, no, he doesn't understand. He won't be able to learn. So we went and met some engineers from Tufts University in Boston, and we talked to them, and they said the same thing, that he wouldn't be able to learn. So we told the engineers to tell Rick a joke. They told Rick a joke, and Rick cracked up laughing.
Aww.
There is something there. So they said, if you get us $5,000, we'll build a communicating device for Rick. Now, you got to remember, this was 45 years ago, and $5,000 was a lot of money. But the Hoyt family raised the $5,000. We gave it to the engineers, and they built what was called the TIC, the Tufts Interactive Communicator. The engineers were coming to our house, and everybody's betting one of the first words Rick is ever going to say. Well, naturally, his mom stands behind mom, and me, the dad, is going to buy hi, dad. Well, the Boston Bruins were going for the Stanley Cup, and the very first words he ever said was go Bruins.
So we knew
right there that he loves sports.
Yeah.
So we took Rick with his tick to the school department. The principal of the school took him in a room with some teachers, and they left us outside because before they were saying that we were answering for him. They asked him questions. He answered them correctly. They had to accept him in public school, and then after that, the federal government came out with a grant to get these ticks to go into other schools.
Unbelievable story.
And, now, Chris, I want to ask you, what would your first words be? Would it be like, go Longhorns?
Maybe go Longhorns. I don't know. But,
Mine would have been go Boilermakers. Producing.
Well, it certainly shows that, and I bet this stands true, that Rick has quite the personality. And so just about home life, Rick has, I believe he has two brothers. And were you guys always pretty loose around the house? Did you cut up and make fun of each other and, you know, the sort of things that families do?
Yeah. Well, you know, the doctor said that, you know, that we should go on and have other children, you know, it'd be within the millions before something like this would happen again. So we did. And Rob, the middle child, was born. And then Russell came along like 5 years later. And they were all so awesome. It was a little bit difficult for Rob at first, because we used to take everything and do everything with Rick. Like if you're going to go down to the store and get a gallon of milk or the newspaper, I used to make it so I could take Rick with me. And then when Rob started to do it, and it was a little bit difficult for Rob at first, because he said, Dad, you could spend more time with Rick than you do with me, you know? Then again, when Russell was born, the third one, it was a lot easier because Rob had Russell.
Right.
But it's just amazing the way the two of them treated Rick. I mean, they'd go outdoors and take him with it, and they'll make tree huts and stuff, and they'd take Rick up there. You know, we'd go to the beach, they'd bury him in sand. We played baseball with them. We played hockey with them. And I guess what I'm trying to say is every time we did something, we found a way to do it with Rick so the whole family could be together at all times.
That's great. I read a story online about Rick being the goalie in hockey games.
Yeah, he'd love to be goalie because we'd take a sheet of plywood and put it in front of the net.
Yeah.
That is great. That's great. So that's awesome that he has had that relationship with his brothers. How old were Rob and Russell? How far apart were they?
They were about 5 years apart.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So that's great to have a couple of brothers on your side there for sure.
Yeah.
So you hit on this and talking about the challenges of the integration into public school and, you know, some of the things that you all went through. And I know that you and your wife were huge advocates for getting Rick into school. Tell me some of the challenges about that and with that, and what do you have for other families that may be experiencing some of those same challenges?
Yeah, well, it was very difficult because our goal was to get Rick into the regular public school with everybody else, and they were saying no. They wanted to get Rick in a special class with all people that had all different types of disabilities and stuff like that, you know. So, and actually, Rick first started school, it was in a church. You know, he used to go to church, mm-hmm. and that's how he got started into being educated. And then we did take him to a couple of these places, but we really didn't like it. So that's when we fought to get Rick into public school with everybody else.
Yeah.
And it was, as far as talking and having the computer, and it was amazing because Russell was only 8 years old and Rick was 12 years old when he was going to school. And they had a hard time with his computer at first. So what they did, they sat down and came up with a spelling system. They used the alphabet, A, E, I, O, and U. And they taught Rick the alphabet. So if it was A, he would shake his head when they said A. Or if it wasn't, he'd shake his head no. And that's how they started communicating. And Rick was able to do his homework and papers until he actually got a real good computer that he was able to use. But still, it's still faster to use the alphabet to communicate with Rick.
And that's incredible. Technology is an amazing thing.
It sure is.
Just to see an 8-year-old and 12-year-old were the ones that came up with that spelling method.
And that itself. Oh, wow. Yeah.
Well, folks, we're interviewing our guest today, Dick Hoyt. Just so happy to have him on the show. And really, please take time to visit his website, the Team Hoyt website at www.teamhoyt.com. That's www.teamhoyt.com. So, Rick, in 1977, you and Rick, or I guess Rick came to you and said he wanted to participate in a 5-mile benefit run for a lacrosse player who had been paralyzed in an accident. You agreed to push him in the wheelchair, and you guys formed a brand new father-son relationship that's lasted for a long time. So tell us about that first race and the many other races to follow.
Yeah. Well, Rick was attending a South Miller school out in Westfield, Massachusetts, and his gym teacher got him involved in all the gym activities with all the other children. And he was also the basketball coach at Westfield State College, so he used to take Rick to the basketball games. Well, at one of the basketball games, they made an announcement that one of the lacrosse players was in an accident. He was paralyzed from the waist down, so they're going to have this charity road race to try to help him raise some money for his medical bills. When Rick came home from that game, he told me all about it. And he said, Dad, I have to do something for him. I want to let him know that life goes on, even though he's paralyzed. I want to run in the race. Well, at the time, I was not a runner. And it's all we had was this Mulholland wheelchair, which we had a hard time pushing him in it, mm-hmm. never mind running in it.
Mm-hmm.
But we went down to the race. It was a 5-mile race. They gave Rick and I the number 00. And the gun went off, and Rick and I took off with all the other runners. Well, everybody thought that we would go to the corner and turn around and come back. Well, we didn't. We finished the whole 5 miles coming in next to last, but not last. That's one thing, never the last in all of the in any races. But when we get home that night, Rick wrote on his computer, Dad, when I'm running, it feels like my disability disappears, which was a very powerful message to me. If you think about it, somebody's got cerebral palsy, he can't talk, he can't use his arms and his legs, and now they're out there running, and his disability disappears. He called himself Freebird, because now he was free and able to be out there competing and running with everybody else. But there was only one problem after that race. I was disabled.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know you had to. So many muscles in your body that could ache. I could hardly walk for 2 weeks. So I told Rick, if we're going to continue running, we're going to have to get a chair built so I wouldn't be hurting as badly.
Oh, bless your heart. Wow.
Absolutely. And that, and so a little over 1,100 races since, is that correct?
Well, it's a little over 1,200.
A little over 1,200 now. Okay.
A little over 1,200.
Well, and are you still, I'm sure you're still sore after each race. Is that, I can imagine.
Well, to be honest with you, I was never sore after any of them until, you know, I just come up with this back problem. And but I've had the operation now, and I'm going to get some x-rays done, and hopefully he's going to give me okay to go over and start running again and doing triathlons again.
Well, we definitely will keep in touch and cheer you on for that. And if you're ever in the Texas area, let us know. But Dick, is there one race that stands out as being particularly more special or more memorable to you and Rick?
Yes, I believe the World Championship Ironman Triathlon out in Kona, Hawaii, because right now Rick and I are the only ones in the world to be able to compete and complete that, you know. You know, and we're the only ones in the world that have been able to do it. And it's just our favorite race, because what happened was they inducted Rick and I into the Hall of Fame out there also. Mm-hmm. And they got videos out that people have all over the world. And if people can find this video, it's called I Can Only Imagine, and they can see us doing this Ironman triathlon. It's just amazing. And Rick and I have also done Ironman Canada, Ironman Germany, and we've done triathlons over in Japan. And so we've traveled the country. But I would say the World Championship Ironman triathlon out Kona, Hawaii, which consists of 2.4 miles of swimming, 112 miles of biking, and then the marathon, 26.2 miles. And during the bike, Rick sits in front of the handlebars on the front tire.
Absolutely unbelievable.
I know. In that video you were speaking about, that's the video that I saw that not only moved me to tears, but honestly, I've been a fan ever since, like I said in the beginning. So I'm just, I don't know. Now, how about the many awards and recognitions that Team Hoyt has received? Are a few of those that stand out as well?
Yes, we've won a lot of awards, and the biggest one would be the ESPY Award. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just so unbelievable. It's the biggest sports award going.
Yeah,
You know, in the Boston Marathon, when we first applied, they didn't want to do anything with us, and they said that I had to qualify in Rick's age group. So that meant we had to run under 2 hours and 50 minutes to do the Boston Marathon. So we went down to the Marine Corps Marathon, and we ran a 2:45 and 20 seconds, and it qualified both Rick and I for the Boston Marathon, and was an official entrance ever since. And matter of fact, 1996, the 100th running of the Boston Marathon, Rick and I were heroes, and we actually raised money for Easter Seals, which Rick was involved in when he was very much better, and we were able to raise, we've been able to raise over $1 million donated to Easter Seals.
Mm. Oh, that's great.
And I have to tell you, my best time in a half marathon is actually more than your time in a marathon. So kudos to you. That's amazing.
Well, our best time was the Marine Corps Marathon. We ran that in 2 hours and 40 minutes and 24 seconds. And we've been inducted into the Marine Corps Marathon Hall of Fame also. And at that time, that was only 1.5 hour off the world's record.
Wow.
I'm speechless.
Oh, I don't think I run a 10-minute mile. So, so that is unbelievable. So, lots of the marathons, getting to school. But one of the things that really stands out to me most is Rick, not only getting into school but graduating high school. And then moving on to graduating college from Boston University, just absolutely unbelievable. What does that mean to Rick, and what does that mean to you and your family?
Well, it's just unbelievable. because the day that I took Rick down to Boston University, because we lived 2 hours away one way, that was the toughest day of my life, because we were dropping Rick off at Boston University with people we hardly knew as personal care attendants to take care of him. But he did it. It took 9 years, but he was able to do it. And he got the Distinguished Graduate Award from Boston University also. And he ended up living in Boston for a couple years after he graduated from BU.
So graduated and now is a consultant on the Eagle Eye program at Boston College?
Well, what happened was when he graduated from BU, he went to the computer system for Boston College, and he worked with them, and he helped them design a new computer system called Eagle Eyes. And now I understand that BU is selling these computers all over the world.
Wow. And what was his part in helping design the alphabet and coding patterns? And
Yes. Yep. Yeah, he just went over there and he spent the day with there, and I never even got to see him in one of the classes, to be honest with you. But it was just unbelievable for him to be able to help them out, you know, to produce a new computer system that's helping people out throughout the world.
I bet it's much different than the very first computer system that he used originally.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Amazing. I bet it changed his life many years ago, and I'm sure the systems today are you know, the technology is certainly changing people's right. lives with disabilities as well.
Tina, I was reading on your website, you know, just all the amazing things that you do and being a motivational speaker. And can you tell us about the Hoyt Foundation and how can our listeners contribute to the Hoyt Foundation?
The Hoyt Foundation is a nonprofit organization that was formed in 1989. The Hoyt Foundation aspires to build the individual character, self-confidence, and self-esteem of Americans' disabled young people through inclusion in all facets of life, daily life, including in-family, community activities, especially sports, at home, in schools, and in the workplace. Each year, the Team Hoyt's primary spokespeople, world-renowned athletes Rick and Dick Hoyt, show that the world how to do this by speaking before community and professional groups and by direct participation in many road races, triathlons, and other endurance events. The foundation also provides advice and support to groups and individuals who share this mission. And I'd like to, if you don't mind, but to let you know that we have Team Hoyts now throughout the United States. We have Team Hoyt in Las Vegas, in Arizona, in Texas, in Canada we got them, and in Massachusetts all over, and in Virginia Beach and Coeur d'Alene. And we got 3 or 4 more that will be joining us. And it's just amazing what's going on, because all of these Team Hoyts across, they go out and raise money. And then what they do is they build chairs, racing chairs. We get the racing chairs built, and then we buy trailers and put them in trailers. And then we take them to all local races, and families can come and push their own children, or we provide pushes for them. It's just amazing how this is growing. And I feel it's going to be going overseas very shortly.
Oh, that is super cool. That's great. So how, if people want to get involved in that, how would they go about doing it?
Well, the best thing is to get a hold of us, you know. Go to our website and just send the information, and then we'll take it from there and contact people in the other states, and then they'll get back to them.
Well, let me say your website one more time so our listeners have it. It's www.teamhoyt.com, and that's spelled TEAMHOYT.com.
Right.
Yeah. So I want to know, because again, your story is just so motivational, and it makes, actually after this interview, I want to go for a run right now. Trust me, I want to after talking to you. But
I wish I was there to go with you.
I am serious. If you're ever in Texas, let me know. I will hunt you down. I will find you. But so I want to know what's next. You know, what's in the future for Team Hoyt? What are you planning?
Well, right now, because of my back, unfortunately, I am not competing with Rick. But we have this, I'm 77 now, you know, and I feel just as strong as I did when I was 57. But I got to get this back taken care of and I'll be back. But right now, we got a local dentist and he's only 44 and he's been pushing Rick in the Boston Marathon and doing triathlons with him. But I'm just hoping so that I can get back in and do some races. As a matter of fact, Rick lives in the town of Sturbridge, and they're going to have a half marathon, and it's going to be named Rick Hoyt.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So it's just him. It's not Dick Hoyt and Rick Hoyt, Team Hoyt. It's Rick Hoyt. That's so awesome.
Well, bless his heart. Now, when is that marathon?
It's the 9th of September.
Okay.
No, it's only a half marathon.
A half marathon. Hey, Chris, yeah. We might have to be going up to Massachusetts.
Yeah, no doubt. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, we'd put you up. We live right on a lake.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I'm putting that piece of information in my pocket, and I will remember. I'm serious.
Yeah.
So, Dick, what parting words would you like to share with our listeners, and how can they continue following Team Hoyt? I think the website's one of them, but you know, parting words and anything you'd like to share with our guests that we have not gone through that you would like to say.
Well, our message is yes, you can. There isn't anything you can't do until you make up your mind to do it, and there's no such word as no in the Hoyt vocabulary.
I love it.
Absolutely love it too. Well, Dick, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you as a guest on our show, and we can't wait to continue following Team Hoyt, and we can't wait to continue seeing how you and Rick inspire people all over the world. And just from the bottom of our hearts, we're so grateful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. I just got something here in case you get some people calling in that would like to make a donation.
Sure.
Would you mind taking that?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, to donate, go to our homepage at Hoyt, at teamhoyt.com. On the bottom right of the page, you can click on to donate with PayPal, or there's an address to click on.
Perfect. And we will make sure to have that on our webpage as well so that our listeners have a place there to go and find that information.
Well, thank you. And if anybody, you know, would like more information about us, they can just go to our website and we'd be happy to help them out.
Great.
Well, thank you so much, Dick. Like I said, I will definitely keep in touch and hopefully I'll see you at that half marathon in September, if not before.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. It was nice talking to you, and good luck to both of you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you all for listening today, and a special thanks to our guest host, Rick Hoyt. Join us next time on April the 10th, where we will be talking to figure skater, Olympic gold medalist, and three-time cancer survivor, Scott Hamilton. Really excited about that interview, and can't wait to have you join us. As always, the information provided in this show should not be substituted for professional medical advice. These shows are for educational purposes only, and if anyone has questions about their health or wellness, please consult your doctor. Goodbye, everybody.